इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। आई एम जॉइंड अगेन टुडे बाय माय फ्रेंड प्रज्ञा शिदोरे। सो प्रज्ञा एंड आई वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग अबाउट द 3 M's which shaped how India operated in the 1990s, or the M's which have had huge impact on India and they continue to have it till date. So they were Market, Mandir and of course Mandal. Now Mandal is actually a surname of a person, but it has become an inflammable sort of word because it concerns a topic which is very close to every Indian's heart, that is of caste-based reservations. In this episode, we try discussing what it was, where did it come from, what was obviously the need of it, and of course, what were the effects that we see in Indian society till date?
See, one thing we have to be aware about, that caste-based reservations or affirmative action is not a new concept to India.
Okay.
It is generally said that affirmative action first took place in 1960s in the US.
Okay.
For the blacks in the states. But way back since 1800s, we have been having these kind of movements in India.
Okay.
First, maybe in Tamil Nadu, you must be knowing about Periyar movement,
yeah.
The social justice movement against the repression of non-Brahmin caste.
Hmm.
And that actually peaked between 1910-20. And by 21, reservation for the backward castes and scheduled caste and scheduled tribes was initiated back then.
Okay.
Around the same time, the Mysore state and the princely states of Travancore and Kochi started reserving places for education for the backward classes.
Okay.
The state of Kolhapur, under the leadership of Shahu Maharaj, he introduced reservations way back in 1902.
Wow.
And these reservations were not just for men.
Okay.
These were also for women in education.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting fact which I would like to highlight
in
the history of reservation.
Which not many know that reservation is actually not a concept of independent India. It
right.
dates back to the British Raj.
Now, talking about the reservations in independent India, the ideas were shaped significantly by the Pune Pact, which we must have read in our history books.
Yeah.
the pact between Ambedkar and Gandhi.
Yeah.
So, that pact was about the quota system in the electorates.
Okay.
Which actually started this whole process for reservations after independence.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi had initially opposed to the reservations, by the way, of electoral seats based on the castes. But he actually succumbed to the pressure and agreed to for the Pune Pact.
So, we actually studied Pune Pact in our history textbooks. I remember it. But somehow, we never realized that it has had such a huge impact on this particular issue. Of till date, we have electoral reservations. We have seats reserved. We have electorates reserved. We have posts reserved for a particular caste, particular community, or even for women.
Right.
That continues till date. And we had no idea that Pune Pact has had that contribution.
So, I must say that Gandhi was actually a visionary.
Hmm.
Who had an idea that castes and divisions on the caste lines would have an increasing impact on our social fabric.
Yeah.
So, cut to 1947, when we had the Constitution Assembly, the Assembly recommended that such castes, they need support.
Hmm.
And that such actions should be taken.
Hmm.
And that is why we have provision in our Constitution under the Article 340
right.
that President has the right to form a commission to study what kind of impact and what kind of actions which need to be taken for these kind of communities.
Hmm.
In 1950, Kaka Kalerkar, the commission headed by Kaka Kalerkar, the Kalerkar Commission, was actually placed
by the presidential order. So this Kalerkar Commission studied this whole matter for a couple of years and then it made a few recommendations. So this commission submitted report in 1953. Next due census was in 1961. So they suggested that the 1961 census should actually do a caste-based census so that we can arrive at actual numbers of what are the caste representations in the society. It also suggested that women be treated as backward irrespective of the caste, and which actually makes sense because think of 1950s. even today we find that most of the Indian women are somewhat oppressed, if not too much, in some way or the other. And obviously in 1950s, women actually were a weaker section of the society. And hence it made sense that they should be treated as backward, irrespective of the birth that they have in a particular caste. Kalilkar Commission also suggested that technical education should have 70% of reservation for the backward classes or the caste, and socio-economic measures should be taken to uplift the status of OBCs. Now, ironically, most of these suggestions were discarded because government said that there are no objective tests to decide what exactly comprises backward or who exactly is backward. How do you decide who is it? So, most of the suggestions were not taken by the government. Now, after this, some 22 years passed, after 1977 elections, which are the elections immediately following after, the emergency. So, in 1977 elections, Indira Gandhi government, Indira Gandhi was overthrown and Janata Party came to power. This government decided to take up this issue again and it appointed another commission. That commission, headed by a parliamentarian called B.P. Mandal, is known as this particular Mandal Commission. What did the commission actually say, Pradnya?
See, the commission provided numerous recommendations for the upliftment of the weaker caste, weaker sections of the society, even apart from the reservation, like the land reforms, the tenural system in the land reforms, which they wanted to be carried out. But the reservation was the probably the most populist measure. And we identify that Mandal Commission report through just that reservation
perspective system.
It recommended that 27% of jobs should be reserved for the OBCs in the government and public sector. It actually had 11 indicators to decide who is the OBC, the other backward class.
Which was the problem with the first commission.
Correct.
That they had no objective indicators.
So many of the OBCs were occupation castes.
Right.
And that actually changed region to region.
Perfect.
So every state had a different kind of formula for the reservations.
Now, as luck would have it, the Prime Minister who had initiated this commission, Morarji Desai, his government fell within a couple of years, and then the report was in a frozen state for next 10 years. In fact, Rajiv Gandhi, who became Prime Minister shortly in 1984 after his mother's death, he had said this on record that Mandal Commission's report is a can of worms and I will not open it. Yeah, so that sort of was frozen till, at least till Rajiv Gandhi was in power. And then Rajiv Gandhi's government fell and V.P. Singh became the Prime Minister. Now, he promptly decided to implement this commission report.
Correct.
You know, every Independence Day, the PM addresses the nation in a speech. So, on the Independence Day of 1990, V.P. Singh declared that in memory of B.R. Ambedkar, the government has decided to implement the report and the recommendations of this commission.
And this was kind of a hasty announcement. And maybe no one actually foresaw the repercussions of this magnanimous decision. It was very controversial and huge protests across India were carried out in many education institutes. There were also demolitions in many parts of India and especially in Delhi.
So this particular youth called Rajiv Goswami, he sort of became a face of this whole protest. He became the first person to immolate himself in the protest of the recommendations. Actually, Goswami was not the only person, even though he became the most famous one. But there were a couple of hundreds incidences where people tried burning themselves, tried immolating themselves in protest. North India was actually totally divided on the caste lines following this particular implementation announcement. And I would say till date, we can see the effects that the particular commission's report has had on Indian society and how it might have further divided the Indian social fabric on the caste lines. So, this is a huge topic and we wish to discuss this in detail to provide justice to this particular thing. So, we plan to do this in the next part of our episode. Till then, stay tuned.